give the Lord the right to direct your life. Trust Him along the way, and you'll see He is able to do it. Woo! But it requires those two things from us, right? We give the Lord the right to direct our life. And then along that way, God, I give you the right. I give you the right. That means my rights aren't there anymore. Your rights are. I give mine to you. And then I trust you along life's way as you're directing. And I'll see that you can do it. And He will do it. Amen? So let's this morning afresh just give the Lord the right to direct our lives. Let go, my soul, and trust in Him. Amen. God, we do that this morning again, afresh, anew. We give you the right to direct our life. And we determine to trust you along the way. We trust in you along the way. And trust is only necessary when we don't understand some things. So we trust you along life's way because, Lord, we know that you are faithful to do it, to direct us in your way. We let go this morning. In Jesus' name.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Morning.
Ooh, I have a voice.
My name is Carla, and the Lord's going to be using me to minister this morning. So I just want to start out with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I have had a precious time with you preparing this message this morning, and I am trusting you that it flows from me to your precious people here in this church this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, speaking to each heart individually. Lord, I love how our pastor Ed always says that there's two messages going on. There's one that comes from this pulpit, but then it's how you mold and shape that message into the individual hearts. And that's what I am trusting you for this morning. All glory and honor and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start out by reading a passage out of Ephesians, and I'm actually going to read it out of the paraphrase version, the Message first, and then I'm going to give you a snippet of that out of the New King James Version. And obviously, I believe what the Holy Spirit was looking at this weekend was that it's Labor Day. So it was inspired by the weekend that we are now in the midst of. And so I'll give you a little hint. We're going to be talking about work tomorrow or this morning, and I'm sure you're all thrilled about talking about work. But anyway, just bear with me. The Holy Spirit has some good stuff for us this morning. At the time that Paul is writing Ephesians, he is actually in prison, and he is in a Roman prison. And it begins in chapter 4. It says, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. And again, he's talking to the church here.
You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. That's the message. So just a real snippet of that is what we're going to focus on this morning. Oops, I gave it away. Here's out of the New King James Version. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And again, that's Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So you may have saw a glimpse there of what the title of my message is this morning. And honestly, I can't even pronounce it. So here it is. Oops. Well, there we go. Aren't you glad you came this morning? So, no, you know, we have a new computer system. I promise you the computer did not do that. It's not a Greek word. I'm not totally off my rocker, and I really do know how to spell, although Spellcheck and I did a real battle over this week. So let's just say that when I was a kid, I loved to do word searches, and I loved to unscramble words. So with that in mind, let me dissect this for you. And first, we're going to pull out, I don't know if you can see, that some of those letters are in bold. Equip. Equip. Equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And I have it in bold for a reason. Equip. Equip. It's a boldness that we're asking for here. So, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Here is the Passion Translation of that also up there. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Here's the challenge. He's appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. That's you and us. That's you and me. To equip us to do the work of the ministry. We have some work to do. Guess what? That means from these scriptures, we're all ministers. So it doesn't matter whatever your occupation is, whatever age you are, what your gender is, your marital status. If you're a believer, you're a minister. And whether you're a new or a seasoned believer, you're a minister. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. There we go again, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what thoroughly equips us? All scripture. I have to tell Ed, Scott died, I haven't told you I'm going to share this. But anyway, you know, when Scott and I first became believers, we came to this, you know, we came to this new evangelical church, and we were fairly recent with the Lord. And so we went to our first Bible study. And it was actually, they have Sunday school, so we went to our Sunday school adult Bible class. And the Bible teacher said, okay, if you can all open up your Bibles to the book of John. Well, thankfully, Scott and I knew to bring a Bible, but that's about as far as it went. So, and in my mind, I'm going, you know what? I think there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Of course, I left it to Scott because I thought I'd let him show his ignorance rather than my own. So, anyway, so he's kind of like fumbling through the Bible, and he comes to the book of John. Whew. Okay, we didn't show too much how much we didn't know. And so, of course, it's like, oh, the chapter and a verse. Okay, good. Okay, he told us. And as he's speaking, the Bible teacher, I'm going, I don't have a clue because what you're saying is not here. And, you know, just about that time, this sweet, precious Bible teacher just noticed, I'm sure, our uncomfortableness and said, you know, you're in the book of John. We need you to be in the book of 1 John. And I'm thinking, 1 John, John, what? Is there more than one John? What's going on here? Okay. You know, of course, we're looking, trying to look smooth, like, oh, really? 1 John. Okay, Scott, find it, would you? Okay, yeah. So, but he was very kind, very kind. And so, you know, of course, then that made me start going, okay, I am going to learn the books of the Bible and their order. And you know how each of you have, I don't know if you do, but I did, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Okay, H comes before J. Okay, Hebrews, James. Okay, I can remember that. So, you know, honestly, that's, what is that? How many years ago? Yeah, you know what? I'll just admit right now, if you ask me to just like flow out the minor prophets, I still can't do it. I still can't keep the order of them. And you know, I think the Lord's okay with that. I think he's okay with the fact that I have to page through my Bible to find those minor prophets. But I think he's also okay with me using the table of contents. I mean, he wouldn't have included them in there if, you know, there wasn't a purpose for them, right? Thank you, Lord. So, and you know, this story was prompted because I am actually in Bible college right now, and I'm actually in my last semester, and I'm in a class right now that is just for seniors, and that is not my because of my age. That is because freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. I'm a senior in college right now, and so everybody in that class is a senior, whether they're 18 or, you know, whatever I am. Okay, there. And one of my classmates had just this precious story of how he went to Bible college a year after he gave his heart to the Lord. No Bible, nothing in his background. I thought, oh my, you are so brave. And he said that first year was scary. And he said, you know what, I couldn't even participate in conversations. I didn't know what anybody was talking about. But here he is 4 years later. And oh, it's a precious story of the ministries that God has had him lead, start up. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. See, the beautiful thing is that we as New Testament believers, we not only have his word, we have his Holy Spirit. We have his Holy Spirit in us, guiding us through his word. So it's getting equipped. It's getting equipped. One of the things that's getting equipped is just coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's not because you have to. It's because you want to drink in his word. You want to come on, we have Wednesday nights starting up in a couple weeks, Bible study. There's just different things that we've got going on as a church. It's all to bring us together as the family of God, but getting equipped, getting equipped. It's not coming with that consumer attitude of, okay, what's in it for me this morning? But you're coming as a hearer of the word, a hearer of the word, who is drinking in the word, to be a doer of the word. And I didn't come up with that myself. That's in James 21:22. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, the Holy Spirit, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit's in you. He wants to work in us, doing a mighty work in us, but he wants to work in and through us. In 1 Corinthians 12, and I just gave a very shortened version of that, But there are a diversities. Let me read it first. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And it goes into the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know what? You have that in you. I don't know which one you have in you. You may not even know which one you have in you. But God puts those, Holy Spirit puts those gifts within you. And they're all different so that cumulatively we're a whole. But what we can count on that we all have, let me go back, is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're allowing that Holy Spirit to work in and through you, here's the fruits that you're going to see coming out of it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know what? Those are things we can't conjure up ourselves. Come solely from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? All the benefits from that to each of us, as well as when we project that out to others. And the next one is, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God creates, it's his workmanship, and then he prepares. He creates, and then we're equipped by the Holy Spirit. So this leads us to the next word that we're going to pull out of that string of letters. Work. Now, I intentionally put that in italics so it would just have a softer feel for all of you, so it wouldn't have that harsh. It just has a harshness to it, doesn't it? Work. Work. Especially as we're resting this Labor Day weekend. So, and you know what? I looked up the word work. I Googled it. Oh, here's some synonyms. Labor, toil, slog. I don't even know what that is. Slog, drudgery, exertion, effort, grind, sweat, elbow grease. Oh, I'm encouraged already. But then there's the word service. Oh, so I looked up the word service. Okay, those are some words I can drink in. Favor, kindness, helping hand, assistance, help, aid. And then I remember that Jesus said that he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. So on the heels of that, then we have Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Psalm 90:17 says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Jeremiah 42:3 says that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. You know, your job, I don't know what your job is, and you may have a very secular job. In fact, at your job, you may be the only believer. And there's the drudgery that you're feeling like, ugh, I have to go into that darkness again today. Here's another perspective. The Holy Spirit is in you. Where you go, he goes. So when you go into that darkness, it's not dark anymore. You know what? You're a minister. You're his hands and feet. There's light where there was darkness simply because you're there. Because you're there, he's there. Colossians 4:17 says, and say to Archippus, I'm thinking, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. That's the New King James Version. The Message puts it this way. Oh, and yes, tell Archippus, do your best in the job you receive from the Master. Do your very best. Stephanie, I'm going to tell a little story about you. Stephanie, a gal that comes to church here, whom we all love, she works in a coffee shop. And there was a day that Scott and I walked in, and we ordered mochas. And her words to us were, Carla, Scott, these are going to be the best mochas you've ever had because they are made with much love and joy. There's a ministry. There's a ministry. And that ministry that God has put within you, sorry, there's no retirement plan for that. Well, there is. We'll get to that. You know, you may be able to retire from your secular job, but not from your ministry, not here on earth. But guess what? Eternity is your retirement. I'm going to tell about Scott's Grandma Jo. She has long since gone to heaven. But, you know, in her elderly years, when her body was giving out, her mind was still sharp. And so when she went into assisted living, she seemed to be a nurse magnet, not because she needed their help, but because they seemed to need her help. They were coming to her place on breaks, and, you know, they just seemed to always be doing a little extra bit for her. And we kind of asked Grandma Jo about it, and she said, you know what? She said, they come to me with all their problems, and I just listen. I just listen. That's her ministry, part of her ministry. Both of our dads were our school bus drivers, and Scott's dad, Pete, is, because of physical reasons, is no longer able to drive bus, but they've been doing it in their retirement years. And, you know, for all the years that Pete was driving school bus, Scott's mom would, whatever the holiday was throughout the school year, she was making up little goodie bags for all the students on the bus. They were like a family. Well, the same holds true for my dad. My dad is the school bus driver, and he still is at age 86. Still, he has been doing this for 20 years, and he has to go through the grueling tests, of course, more often because of his age, but he always passes with flying colors, so they let him, and he's actually starting up on Tuesday, going to do his little driving again. My dad. So on the last day of school every year, he's telling all the kids, which I hope they are, telling, you know, make sure you tell your mom and dad you're going to be late. Because my dad has over 50-some kids on his school bus. He picks them up at school at the end of the day, and he drives them right to the gas station where there's soft-serve ice cream, and he buys them all an ice cream cone. And, of course, we were just having this conversation because he was visiting this week, and he said, you know, he said, so-and-so is diabetic, so I just give him a couple bucks, and I say, just go buy whatever you want. So that's my dad's ministry. Previous to that, my dad was a milk hauler. He was the one that went to the farms and picked up the milk. Well, I can tell you now that every day, every child on any one of those farms waited for my dad's truck to pull in because they knew they were going to get a piece of juicy fruit gum. So, and you know what? My dad is 86. He has not been doing that for 20 years, but I'll tell you what, those kids, when they graduated, when they got married, my dad, in fact, we always wondered how he was going to do all this because there was graduations and weddings galore. But you know what? Every card he ever made out to those kids, whether they were 25 or 30, still put a piece of juicy fruit gum in there. That's part of my dad's ministry. And he loves the Lord. Both of our dads do. My fourth grade teacher, one last little tidbit. You know, for the first 2 years, I went to a parochial school, and then that parochial school closed, so then we got switched over to the public school, and of course, we were all scared. You know, we didn't know what to expect. And my fourth grade teacher, I remember I had very long hair, and I remember that when I would come in from recess, she would brush my hair. That and everybody else, I didn't have special favors, but she would brush her hair. And every time she would talk to me, she would always just kind of push my hair off the shoulders. And she would just kind of rub my shoulder, and she would talk to me. And to a fourth grader who was terrified, I can't tell you how that ministered to me. It was her ministry. And do you know that whatever, 30-some late years later, when I was standing in the receiving line for my mom's funeral, she walked through, and the first thing she did, although my hair was much shorter at the time, she pushed my hair off the shoulders, and she just kind of rubbed my shoulder. Oh, I can't tell you, that little ministry gesture reached into the depths of my soul at a time that I was hurting with just a beautiful touch of love. So that takes us to the next scripture that I want to say, and that is
or share, and that is most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. I included this because Oswald Chambers ties prayer to this verse, and he says, prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the CEV version, which I really don't know what that is, but that was all the list of the versions. When people pray, great things happen. I love that. That just simplifies it. When people pray, great things happen. We have a missions team that is heading to the Andaman Islands in just a few short weeks. And this team is a team of prayer. And they have asked us, we have pre-service prayer on Sunday mornings, and Lee, who is one of the men that are going, he came up and he said, okay, he's such a man of prayer, and he said, we need this covered in prayer. Mona has texted, pray, 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 fast, do whatever God's calling you to do. They understand the importance of being covered in prayer as they step on foreign soil, not only over their ministry, but for their protection. I'm going to challenge you, though, and I have been. I'm a prayer warrior because I love to talk to Jesus. I love that back and forth. But what if we approached our ministries in that same way? You know, when we send people on foreign soil, it is a big deal, you know, and there's just so many unknowns, and we just cover. But the mission field is also right here. So it's not but, it's and. Just setting that aside and just saying, in addition, what if we approached our ministries in the same way? What if we recognized that each day is a day of ministry? And you may not even say the name Jesus that day. Just going by the examples that I gave you. Just that we need God. We need the Holy Spirit in us to order our steps. It's not only for our benefit, but it's the service of others, all to his glory. Lord, what does today look like? What are you and me going to do together today for the kingdom? So there's that crazy string of letters again. Now we're going to pull out the capital letters. Rest. And I put rest in all caps for a very good reason, because some of you have a very hard time resting. And I won't mention names as I'm talking. Yep, we had some conversations with those that don't know how to rest this morning. Come to me. You know, this is a verse that so many of us know, but I'm just going to ask you to, I'm going to read it slowly. Just really drink it in this morning. Really drink it in. Just let the Lord just refresh you with this verse this morning. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Oh, here's the kicker. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I just say that again? For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's scriptural. It's in the Word. It's a promise for us. So this morning, and I'm not doing this to condemn you, to stress you out even further, but look within. Are you burnt out? Are you stressed? Are you anxious? Be anxious for nothing. There's another verse. Do you feel resentful? Because, you know, I'm doing all this, and why isn't so-and-so helping? Go to the Lord. Talk to him about it. Allow him to rescue you from what is not of him. Allow him to rescue you from yourself. Those burdens that you have put on yourself, not him, you. That calendar that you have jam-packed, not him. That inability to say no, that is not from him.
and that default of looking to your own resources or lack of them instead of His. You know what? We need rest. Labor Day honors that rest. So do Sundays. Sundays are about that rest. You know, such places, I have a high respect for such places as Hobby Lobby. They're closed on Sundays. They do their business 6 days of the week. Kind of reminds me of Exodus 20, 8 through 10, which says, rest on the Sabbath. And again, no condemnation. Hear me out before you start feeling, rest on the Sabbath. 6 days you will work, and on the seventh day you will rest. What does your seventh day look like? You know, this is in my lifetime, and I'm sure many of you can remember this. When I was a kid, you couldn't even pump gas on Sundays. I mean, you had to think about, okay, between now and Monday, got to go get gas, got to do whatever. There was nothing open on Sundays. So if you have to work on Sunday, no condemnation. But again, what does your seventh day look like? Whatever day of the week that falls on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And that's in Psalm 23, 1 through 3. So that takes us to that crazy string of letters again. But now we've got all three. Equip, work, rest. Or did I maybe not hear the Holy Spirit right? Maybe it was work, rest, equip. Or maybe it was rest, equip, work. Lord, is there a right order? No. And that's why He had me put the three words together. Gave me this visual. The three are in tandem. They work along each side of each other. You know, there's going to be times when you are just getting equipped. There are times when you're just going to work. There are times when you're just going to rest. But honestly, your ministry, it's going to be all three going on. You're going to be getting equipped for the work from a place of rest. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 1:6. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, don't miss that, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I didn't put this up there, but in Luke 17, there's a section, it's verses 20 and 21. When the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come, this was Jesus' answer. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you, is within me. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. He is in you. He is in me. The kingdom of God is in us. He's in you. He's in me. And while each of our ministries will look differently, they will all have this in common. equip, work, and rest. May you all be blessed as you have a time of rest this weekend. But as you approach your work, know that you are a light, that the Holy Spirit is in you, that where you go, God goes. And if you look to Him, He will guard, guide, and protect you. He will order your steps because He loves you and because He loves His people. So embrace the ministry He has within you. It's as simple as smiling and saying hi, showing kindness, compassion, watching those fruits of the Spirit come out of you. It's all to His glory. And you will get to retire when eternity begins for you. Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sweet message this morning, Lord. May it minister to each one of us, and yet each of us together. We're the family of God here. We're the body of Christ. Whether you are here for the first time or whether you are a regular, you are part of the family of God. You're part of this church family. Man, we love people here. We love on each other. And we love visitors. We love those that are coming to Door County to vacation because we know that you're coming here for a time of rest. And Lord, may it be so. May it be so. May it be a time of rest. And yet a quickening of our spirits, because even as we're resting, those good works are flowing. Those good works are flowing. You're equipping us. You're equipping us to bless others just as you want to bless us. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We yield to you that you may work in us, do your mighty work in us and through us. Thank you, Father. We love you so, 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 so much. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you, Father. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
That's a great word. It's encouraging. There's been so many times when in the rare chance we get to go on a vacation, it takes a few days to unwind before I can finally actually start to feel like I'm in that rest mode. Because so many times the speed of life just has those wheels turning. And it takes me a few days. And then it's just a few days that I can rest before I have to hit the ground running again. It's even more difficult on a weekend where you just got a couple days to get away. But we have that opportunity to get refreshed. And I so appreciate that word this morning. There is the message of the heart of God in what we just heard. And we can be encouraged too that as we are equipped and as we work and as we rest, you know, we're not scoring points with God and how well we do that stuff. He loves us. And like Carla said, there isn't condemnation when we have to consider where we're at in life in view of these things. There isn't condemnation because there's a God who loves us. He challenges us. He stirs us. He calls us to rest. He calls us to those green pastures and those still waters. It's because of His heart of love. And then we can turn right back around and take that love, just like Stephanie does, and that best tasting mocha latte you could ever find in Door County, because it's infused with the heart of God. I love that picture, because it's what every single one of us can do. That's where this hits real life. Praise God. So be encouraged and enjoy as much as the weather will allow. Enjoy your rest this weekend here.